What does it mean to truly heal in a world of profound inequality? Paul Farmer's voice resonates with uncommon moral clarity on this question. Beyond his Harvard credentials or groundbreaking work with Partners in Health, Farmer challenges us to confront an uncomfortable truth. Modern medicine has created two worlds. In one, cutting-edge treatments save lives daily. In the other, millions die from entirely preventable and treatable conditions. The divide isn't about medical possibility, but moral choice. When Farmer says the idea that some lives matter less is the root of all that is wrong with the world, he's naming the unspoken assumption behind global health disparities. What makes his approach revolutionary is his refusal to accept these disparities as inevitable. From Haiti's central plateau to Rwanda's rural villages, he's demonstrated that impossible medical interventions become entirely possible when we reject the notion that geography or poverty should determine who lives and who dies. The question isn't whether we can provide quality care to everyone, it's whether we believe everyone deserves it. Why do we accept that a child in Sierra Leone is 100 times more likely to die before age 5 than one in Singapore? While modern medicines transformed fatal conditions into treatable ailments, these advances primarily benefit those in wealthy nations who can afford care. This acceptance of inequality exemplifies what Farmer calls moral anesthesia, a psychological numbness that lets us witness suffering without feeling compelled to act. We rationalize that basic care suffices for poor populations or label life-saving treatments as not cost-effective in certain contexts. The AIDS crisis demonstrates this pattern. While deaths plummeted in America with antiretroviral therapy, these same medications were deemed unsustainable for Haiti or Rwanda, until Farmer proved otherwise. The challenge isn't developing new treatments, but ensuring existing ones reach everyone. When physicians prioritize self-interest over patient advocacy, they risk what Farmer calls general anesthesia for the soul, functioning technically while missing medicine's moral imperative. Medical education must therefore cultivate both technical competence and moral courage to challenge systemic inequities. What transforms an ordinary person into someone who dedicates their life to fighting injustice? It begins when previously invisible injustice suddenly becomes clear. Thomas Clarkson, a young Anglican minister-to-be in 18th-century England, had his moment after writing about slavery. During a roadside revelation, he realized that if the contents of the essay were true, it was time some person should see these calamities to their end. The persistent question, "Are these things true?" drove him to build an anti-slavery movement. For Paul Farmer, Haiti made abstract inequality real through patients dying from treatable diseases. UN General Romeo Dallaire faced his turning point in Rwanda, where an American official calculated it would take 85,000 Rwandan deaths to justify risking one American soldier, revealing how differently we value human lives. These experiences show how moments of clarity spark lifelong commitments. As Farmer notes, to do nothing is also to act. The key is converting distress into meaningful action. A young doctor in Haiti saves Jean from a severe asthma attack using his personal inhaler, a chance intervention that raises the question, what about those who aren't so lucky? This story reveals two truths. First, we live in stark inequality. In America, the top 1% now owns 25% of wealth, up from 9% 30 years ago. Globally, 0.5% control over a third of wealth, while 2 billion live on less than $2 daily. These statistics represent millions dying from treatable conditions due to their birthplace. Second, saving Jean wasn't miraculous, but an act of solidarity. Community health workers, recognizing the urgency, ensured the doctor's visit. Their social network prompted life-saving action. These webs of shared purpose form our social safety net. As Farmer notes, inequality can make fools of us all. We must acknowledge our privilege and its obligations. The goal isn't celebrating random kindness, but building systems that make life-saving care routine. What if our greatest limitation isn't resources or knowledge, but imagination? In the 1980s, Farmer met a young Haitian doctor schooled for scarcity and failure. He saw how assuming only poor quality healthcare was possible reflected a failure of imagination that drove his mission to build worthy hospitals. Farmer condemns providing cheap shit for the poor, substandard care disguised as cost-effectiveness. This mindset led to the 2002 recommendation to let 25 million Africans with AIDS die because prevention seemed more cost-effective. Yet within a decade, treatment costs fell from $10,000 to under $100 annually. This failure resurfaced after Haiti's 2010 earthquake when authorities rejected a $3.70 oral cholera vaccine as too expensive or complex. The resulting epidemic became the world's largest in half a century. When the earthquake destroyed Haiti's healthcare infrastructure, partners in health reimagined their response. With support from Congresswoman Schakowsky and architect Ann Clark, they built a 320-bed solar-powered medical center that created hundreds of jobs and spurred local development. Farmer advocates tackling difficult problems rather than just low-hanging fruit, focusing on partnerships that transform patients into providers and break cycles of poverty. Accompaniment means journeying with someone rather than simply helping them, representing partnership over aid. This concept emerged in 1982 in Cange, Haiti, where Farmer realized patients needed both medical care and sustained social support to address poverty's broader challenges. By deploying community health workers as accompagnateurs to provide comprehensive support, tuberculosis cure rates jumped from 50% to nearly 100%. This model proved equally effective with HIV/AIDS patients and in underserved Boston communities. True accompaniment, rooted in the Latin breaking bread together, demands physical proximity and walking alongside those in need. It requires sustained commitment, often defying donors' expectations for quick results. Haiti's post-earthquake response illustrates the flaws in traditional aid. Of $2.4 billion in humanitarian assistance, only 1% reached the Haitian government, with most flowing to international organizations. An accompaniment approach would have prioritized strengthening local capacity. Seamus Heaney's words, "History says, don't hope on this side of the grave, but then, once in a lifetime, the longed-for tidal wave of justice can rise up and hope and history rhyme," capture Farmer's vision of aligning aspirations with reality. A repaired world would unite environmental and social justice, foster green economies, and preserve the Amazon. It envisions peace in conflict zones, with Haiti pioneering green technology. Justice would advance through reduced incarceration, while African nations drive economic growth and healthcare becomes universal. This vision is actionable, not utopian. Martin Luther King Jr.'s Drum Major Instinct sermon urges us to be remembered not for accolades but for serving humanity, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and fighting injustice. Policy failures often stem from poor implementation rather than flawed ideas. Progress requires both hope and concrete strategies guided by accompaniment that connects human solidarity with technical expertise. As Farmer shows, we can repair the world through compassion, one relationship, one community at a time.